Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Thunderdome Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Wednesday, December 6th. I'm your host once again, Troy Chang. Well, it seems like it was just yesterday we were ready to set the draft as we began the 2023 season of the Thunderdome. But in a blink of an eye, week 13 has finished, and we are now staring at the end of the regular season. In a season like no other, only two playoff spots have been locked down. No team has yet to be eliminated from the remaining six playoff spots up for grabs. Every team is in contention. It all comes down to the final week, week 14, to see which teams will claim those precious slots in the Thunderdome. All right, well, let's bring him in. He is our dedicated co-host and our commissioner, Zookzilla's Wanzi. Welcome into the podcast.
Thank you, Rump. Hello, hello. Hope you had a great week.
Well, it could have been a little bit better with a victory, but hey, I can't believe you. Evidently, you are on the road back from Arizona. There was no airplane flights available tonight.
Yeah, I had we had our holiday party, Christmas party with the band, so I had to leave a little bit off schedule, and so I ended up driving back, and I'm on my way back to Vegas.
So was the Christmas party at Arizona, or you're going to it in Vegas?
No, it's a Christmas party that we had in Arizona. So a lot of the people from around the country flew in for this party. They had a live band, and it was at the Westin. And I was like, oh, this is fun.
So why couldn't you get a flight out? It was just too late to do
it? Yeah, it was too late. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I know.
What kind of Christmas party? How fun could that be if you have to drive back all the way to Vegas?
I know. It was, So I didn't know when I had to leave and all this. So I was like, okay, I'll just drive.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's dedication there. That's dedication. I don't think anyone should question your dedication to the podcast as the commissioner this year. That's kudos to you.
This is going to be one of the best episodes ever. You know, last week was a barnstormer. This week, it's going to even be better.
Oh my goodness. Well, all I know is you're on the road and we want to keep it going. So let's move this first half along here. You know, unfortunately this week, some big injuries here that we need to talk about. A big one, of course. Man, you know, the quarterbacks just keep falling down like flies. And another big one, Trevor Lawrence, he goes down with a high ankle injury. You know, he slammed his helmet down. It didn't look good, but you know, reports are there's an outside chance he might play this week. But yeah, the quarterbacks out there, I think Carr also took a concussion. The starting quarterbacks are just going down, Wanzi.
Yeah, a little friendly fire on that Trevor Lawrence one, you know, where his offensive lineman stepped on him and caused that high ankle sprain. And the way it looked like it after he slammed his helmet, like, whoa. So it just shows you, you know, maybe a little prima donna, you know, it took them 45 minutes to an hour to get back to the locker room with two people. They showed the drama, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, he could play next week, you know, which no one believes, you know, but how about my boy, Christian Kirk, the first pass of come on, man, groin injury, like what? Man. Come on.
A big bomb. He like turns awkwardly and just out right at the beginning. That's painful. That's painful when you get an injury in the first play of the game.
I mean, that was, you know, I had, you know, obviously Brian Robinson went out with a little hammy against Miami. He was having a good first half. And then Christian Kirk on the first play. And, you know, just not my week for injuries. But, yeah, there's a lot. You know, these quarterbacks, you know, it'll be interesting what happens to them because they have all the rules designed to protect them. but they still seem to be hurt. So you might have to have like a flag or something, you know, these guys. No hitting allowed.
And but when you see the injuries and see the quarterback matchups that we're going to run into here in week 14 in some of these games, I guess you can see sometimes why you're trying to protect these quarterbacks, because some of these matchups that we're going to be running to are horrendous.
Is putrid stuff, no doubt.
So, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, he also goes down with an ankle injury. So there's another key injury for the New England Patriots. You got, let's see here, DeMario Douglas, you know, he got hurt. He looks like he's going to be out. Najee Harris is dealing with a little bit of an injury. It's kind of we'll have to check practice reports to see if he'll be able to go. But I believe he's got the Thursday night game, so he doesn't have much time to get better. And let's see, Amari Cooper, he took a hit to the head. That's like his second concussion, so that's not looking good, at least for this week. You know, last week he was injured and he ended up playing by the time the game time rolled around. But this one with a second concussion, you feel like he's going to be held out at least one game.
Yeah, Rump, you know, Amari Cooper with a little head injury. You know, Flacco was awesome. It's too bad. I'd like to see what Flacco could have dealt with Amari Cooper, but hopefully he'll be back. Cooper will be back soon for Pac-Man's sake.
Yeah. Flacco, the old man, was definitely a upgrade versus having DTR there. I'm sure Cooper owners, one, want him to get healthy, and two, hope that DTR doesn't get healthy, and they would rather have Flacco out there, at least someone who can air the ball out.
Yeah, absolutely. But isn't it curious that it's a question mark in whether he should start? I mean, that offense looks so much better with Flacco than it did with DTR, you know? Yeah. And so it's curious what these head coaches are thinking.
I know. I mean, you know, normally you kind of want to see what a rookie has. You know, I'm not sure if he was for sure your future. But, you know, they still got Masaji Watson out there, you know. So, like, right now I would think that they would just kind of want to fight it out with Flacco still. But, you know, or like, again, when you see the debacle that the Jets are going through, you wonder why they wouldn't just have had signed Flacco. Even, you know, he's been there before. You know, he kind of knows the facilities and everything like that. But like I said, as some of these, yes, he's a retread, but he is a bona fide NFL quarterback. He has won a Super Bowl. Again, you would think that someone like the Jets could have benefited instead of running through Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle. Now they're picking up Brett Rypien, and I guess going back once more to the well with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that Jets, they've been competitive for 50 years. Not they can't find a quarterback since Joe Namath.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so let's move along. We got one more major injury that unfortunately happened this weekend, and that was Tank Dell. You know, Tank Dell could have been a championship maker for many a fantasy football team, but unfortunately he got caught blocking on a run play. He was out in the middle of the muck, you know, trying to be a team player. He gets rolled up on, and he has a fractured fibula, and he is out for the season.
Why would you involve your smallest receiver, probably a $170, $165, in a running play to block? And the injury apparently was a cracked fibula, which is the strongest bone in your body.
Oh,
so imagine the human mankind that caused that pressure for him to crack and break his leg. That's sick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the tush push, you know, works for others. This one, what a bad play call and bad play design to have him block particular play,
you know,
right?
I'm all for, you know, wide receivers blocking downfield. You know, you need that to be able to bust some long runs by the running backs. But having that blocking going on by a light wide receiver like Tank Dell up in the middle of the line like that, where those huge defensive linemen, old linemen are around, yeah, just that wasn't prudent there.
Yeah, it reminds me of like a Braveheart, mosh pit where, they're just battling against each other, and if you're like stuck on the ground, you're dead. It's like, yeah. So yeah, it was a horrible result. He was having such a great season for a rookie, and I'm actually, I guess I'm a little beneficiary of it because I had the opportunity to pick up Noah Brown prior to that, but. Yeah, it was. You never want to see that. That's just a terrible design, terrible
Yeah,
result.
a superstar in the making, it looks like, goes down, and so he's at loss, and that directly affects a B team. And as we look finishing week 13, this has been a amazing regular season, Wanzi. We got all we are about week 14, the last week of the season, and every single team is still in contention for the playoff spots. Right now in the standings, let's take a look at it. Two men enter, one man leave is in number one. Rum Shakers at number two. Roz Empire, Zugzilla's variant, TLA, that's number three through six, all at a 7-6 record. We got numbers seven through nine, that's Squishy, B Team victorious. Six, seven, eight, nine at 6-7. So B Team right at the cusp there with the eight spot. And then we got Wolf Pack 5-8, Pigs 5-8, and Stinky Boys 5-8. Again, everyone is in the hunt. And unfortunately for B Team, who's going to be fighting to hold on to that eight spot, as we take a look at his first matchup, that Tank Dell injury looms large as he tries to fight off the rest of the teams. He scores a 103-94 with that zero from Dell. Goes up against Variant, who scored an amazing 156-64. So even with Tank Dell, even if he were to have his regular big game, it still wouldn't have been enough. But it's painful for B team here.
Yeah, it was I'm telling you, you look at our league in terms of tiers, and everyone's viable based on what's going to happen this next week. And he had a very tough result, still maintains in the playoff hunt, but Variant, there was rumors that Variant was trying to lose on purpose because he started. I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know anyone, that would bench a Matt Stafford, but he was going against Cleveland, which is the, prior to that, one of the toughest teams to pass on. So I could see the logic in starting Stafford, but his team could not be denied. 156 points, way above his projections. He's just on a roll. So, he may have peaked early, slid down, but he might be peaking at the right time for the playoffs.
Absolutely. Thursday night, monster game by DK Metcalf, 37.4 points. Michael Pittman Jr., 27.5. That was painful for me because I had Tennessee plus one, and they had it all the way there, and it went to overtime, and they lost it in overtime. So that was painful. Pacheco, 21.3. I believe he got ejected in the game, and he still got 21.3. And Kelsey in one of the first Swifty games actually had a very pedestrian day, 12.10, but and they actually lose to Green Bay. But luckily I did have Green Bay plus six on that one, so that one got at least even things out. But in the end, Variant, like you said, he is back on a roll. He's getting his mojo back, and like I said, he won't have to worry about playing Derek Carr or Stafford as Carr is dealing with that injury. So yeah, was he going for a loss, or was he just trying not to be the guest of honor? Because had he played Stafford, he would have had the high score of the week most likely.
Yeah, he would have been in the 170s, right? So yeah, it's he's peaking at the right time. I like all his players, even as you said, Swifty, she was there at the Green Bay game, and he didn't have that, but that was a horrible officiating game. So I'm not sure, this league, it's the NFL is all about the, it's almost like WWE wrestling. It seems like, are the refs like purposely throwing, the games, so they have a certain narrative, So I'm not so sure. So regardless, I think B team needs to regroup for that last position and just fight, get his team ready. He has Jordan Love, who's playing great. He just needs one of his other guys to step forward and just put up a fight.
Yeah, who would have thought that Jordan Love would be able to lead the Packers over a win over the Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs? That was pretty amazing. He does get from all practice reports, it does sound like he's gonna get Dallas Goedert back, which goes. I'm gonna have to keep pronouncing this guy's name again. I had to think about it long and hard.
Hey, you did a good job.
I was going to skip over it, but yeah, the return of Goddard is definitely going to be helpful for B team here. So yeah,
And
he's going to make a maneuver
you
there. Yeah.
noticed you noticed the number one running back for the Miami Dolphins, Achane, had a pretty nice game.
Well, he had a pretty nice game. It was against Washington, and they rested Mostert in the second half because they had a big lead, so they didn't have to really play Mostert, and that's why the snap counts were what they were, even though they're pretty even. But yeah, Mostert, they saved him. They didn't need him for the second half, and so the numbers look a little bit deceiving there.
Okay. We'll see how the other co-host explains it. So, okay, let's move on.
Now we've got a lot of the matches this week. They had some weird scores. They were just big blowouts, and unfortunately, like you said, Christian Kirk took that injury, and that affected your score. Brian Robinson also took that injury, and so you're only able to get 110.66 Zugzillas, squishy auto draft with an amazing 162.5. He was almost the highest score of the week. He was just 0.0, like 3.06 behind two men enter, one man leave. This was a big game for auto draft. He hasn't had one this big in a while, but Debo Samuel with three TDs in that Eagles game. Joe Mixon doing a lot of work with that surprising win against Jacksonville, helped out by that Trevor Lawrence injury. And then Sam Laporta, wow, this rookie tight end really is doing work, scored 29 points. And I gotta say, that Laporta is killing me because I had targeted, I think we already talked about this early in the season, but I had seriously targeted Laporta to draft in the round where AutoDraft took him. And I am convinced, again, convinced that there's no way Mike would have drafted Laporta where he was when he had already had Kyle Pitts earlier in the draft. And if he was drafting by himself, again, there was no way, no way. And I didn't think the AutoDraft would take him because he had AutoDrafted had already taken a tight end for him. And oh man, I am that one pick. If I had Laporta on my roster, then I would feel really good.
Yeah, that Laporta, you gotta just get to Squishy at the auto draft. He was perfect timing. He snatched him up right before you could. That's
Oh
the
man.
power of AI.
Oh man, AI outsmarted me. I didn't think it would take two tight ends. So, all right. Well, you'll have to lick your wounds and head on to week 14. But let's go to that next matchup. This was a big one. Raw's Empire versus TLA. Oh man, Peter moves up to third spot. Raw's Empire with 125.22, enough to finish. TLA only able to muster 90.74. TLA drops to number sixth in the standings. But you know what? I'll tell you what. So this past Sunday, I was with both Raw and TLA watching these games, and I will tell you, TLA might have taken the L, but he feels like he got a W because he was sweating it. He was worried that he was not going to be able to pass 58. His team was struggling. Marquise Brown game 0, Logan Thomas 2, Ramondre Stevenson got injured. got 2.9. DeAndre Swift only 4 points. Man, he was struggling. And for a while, Ja'Marr Chase wasn't doing anything, but he finally kicked it up. But Hurts, you know, Hurts was under control. And there was a time, you know, I didn't want to say it out loud, but, you know, I was like, man, with the start that TLA had, if he takes an injury to his quarterback, to Hurts, that's when 58 can happen, right? And Hurts got taken out of the game for a possible concussion. And you know the record that quarterbacks have had once they've been taken out for a concussion. He thought that was it, and he couldn't handle it anymore. So TLA had to leave. He couldn't watch the game. He had to go over to a different place that has some drinks, have some food somewhere else. And he was sweating bullets. He was sweating bullets until finally we texted, "Hey, Hurts is back in the game. He's got his helmet. You know, if he had a concussion, they wouldn't let him have his helmet. So he got back in the game." And all ended up well for TLA. He got over that 58. So, you know, Danny can hold on to that 58 all to himself still.
You know, it's come close. We had several teams very come close to that number. But yet, you know, miraculous to see Hurts jogging out of that blue tent, coming right back in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was feeling like, I do not want to see Mariota in that game. You know, but Chase was awesome. You know, they finally got a replacement, Burrow. The guy, I think he missed like five passes that whole game, but it was against the Jags.
Yeah.
So, but Chase was finally back on form. And but yeah, this is an incredible result. You know, this is the team I do not want to play in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
So I'm glad I'm playing him this week and not in the playoffs. And I hope to avoid him in that first week. So depending on who wins, they should either finish third or fourth. But yeah, it's what a tough result. I think there's four teams right in that tier, including Variant. Is going to fight for that third place spot and to avoid Rob, because his team in 2 weeks is going to be back to full strength, and you don't want to play them either.
Yeah. So, you know, Peter came up with a win. Rob's Empire did pretty well, even though Amon St. Brown had a uncharacteristic low-scoring game. AJ still gave 9.4. Kyren Williams still doing his thing. This Rams running back may be a league winner, scoring 20.2. His tight end, his backup tight end, Jake Ferguson, scored 19.7. All that was able to offset McLaurin's donut. So even though he gets a donut out of one spot, it was more than enough to take down TLA. So let's say Raw's Empire is going to be definitely a force to be reckoned with during the playoffs here. Our next matchup are two teams struggling to get to that eighth spot. You got 58 with a 115.22 excruciating loss to Victorious, who comes out with 115.66, a 0.44 victory for Victorious, who all but thought he was out in this game, even though Dak Prescott gave a 34.26. Nico Collins, you know, Victorious's Nico Collins player looks a lot stronger now that Tank Dell went out. He was able to overcome 3.9 from Miles Sanders and 2.9 from P. Taylor because 58, although Lawrence was on a roll, that injury took its toll. He was stuck at 29.12. You know for sure Lawrence was going to get at least another point, but it just wasn't enough. He got out with that injury, painful for the Jags, painful for 58.
This was in dire need. I think the former commissioner is calling all his leak sources for a stat correction, right?
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Just one more pass completion to, you know, to Ridley, or even if he just jogs for a couple yards, he's going to get that half a point to put him over, you know, but it was not to be. You know, he suffered that injury. Pigs, all he needed to do was win two games, and he's in the playoffs. He was in control, and now he's in the muck. You know, he still has a chance, but you know, he could have made it easier. But talk about the most untimely of injuries. You
Yes.
know, he's going back to pass, gets stepped on again by his own offensive lineman. He probably would have completed it to, you know, his running back Etienne or Ingram. But yeah, not to be. And but you got to give it up to Victorious though.
Yeah.
What a comeback. This guy, you cannot kill him. He cannot die. You know, he was in last place, and look at him. He's on the verge of a playoff berth.
Oh, man. He's just right on the outside looking in. It's unbelievable. You know, it's funny, on that play where Lawrence got hurt, it was a blitz, and he had a hot route, and the receiver didn't turn around. He was ready to unload that. He cocked his back, and he had to pull it back because the receiver – didn't turn around, and because of that, then the sack came, the step on the ankle came, all of that because of the blown play by that wide receiver. So, 58 is furious with that player. He's also probably furious that, you know, he went and started the big pickup the week, which, you know, he had on his bench, Zach Moss. Zach Moss was supposed to be get the yeoman's work for the Colts, but Zach Moss only scored 7.7 while Chuba Hubbard scored 22.4 on his bench there. That was painful.
Yeah, it's what could have been. You know, that's what makes this season so incredible. Everyone's still in it. And, you know, we can't all make the best choices on our lineups.
Yeah.
And when you have so much wealth, you know, you're undoubtedly going to leave a player that you should have started on the bench. So I think Pigs is in a good position again to make the playoffs, but he just has to bring it, right?
Yep.
Like everybody else.
And he's going to need a little help there. But hey, you know, Victorious, again, scrappy win. He did all he could to get himself in that position. He is definitely doing this on the shoulders of Prescott. Dak Prescott is just having week after week of amazing games. So he stays alive, so it'll be interesting. The person that they're all getting chased by is number one man Wolfpack. He scores a victory for the third week in a row. He scores 129.2, defeating. I go down to Wolfpack. I really, again, I was worried about making the trade because of this exact week. I was like, if I make this trade, I'm going to help Pac-Man get into the playoffs, and I don't want to face Pac-Man anytime in the playoffs. And sure enough, what I thought would happen, 121.08 was all I could muster. Pac-Man partly on the power of his two new starting running backs, Mostert and Pollard, and even enough from Cooper to get him over the top. Oh, man, this was a bitter defeat. I was trying to keep Pac-Man out of the playoffs, but Pac-Man lives.
You know, it came down to the last game Monday night. Evan Engram, his tight end, just went off, went crazy. But you have to admit, Rupp, McCaffrey scored 22 points, right?
Yeah.
You know, combined, you know, Pollard and Mostert only got like 29 points.
Yeah.
So 7 points, you know, 7 points is the difference between McCaffrey and the two players you traded him. You know, the second running back for the Miami Dolphins, Mostert, and Pollard, who's only had a couple weeks. So we, you know,
you have to include that Cooper also, because if he didn't make that trade, he would have no one else to put. He could have put in Dotson in that spot, which would have given him 4.3. That would have been less points also. So that would have been a little bit larger. And, you know, he would have had Cook on bye. So, you know, it's hard to say who he would have been able to put in that next running back spot. So, again, I believe Pac-Man knows what he's doing. He knows he had to make this trade in order to be able to sustain his playoff hopes, because there's no point in having CMC if you're not in the playoffs with COC, correct?
How does Mike Evans do it? 29.2 points. You know, when you drafted Mike Evans, were you even thinking, you know, no Tom Brady? Were you even thinking that he would have this good of a season?
I certainly was not expecting him to have this good of a season. I was hoping that he did, you know, that he was going to be the number one wide receiver there. Again, where I drafted him at, you know, I didn't have as much choice there, you know, at a wide receiver two spot, being that I went running back. So, yes, he is definitely exceeding my expectations. But at this point, you know, again, you know, people could say, you know, I discussed this with several people this past Sunday, but, you know, people like Ron may have said, well, I should have given him Evans for him. I say Mostert, Pollard, and Evans is too expensive for McCaffrey. And, you know, it's not that Pac-Man didn't ask for that, but I just wasn't willing to make the trade at that high of a price. At that high of a price, I would rather have, you know, stayed put and, you know, just go with what I had. You know, Evans and two starting running backs was, I felt, too steep of a price. And you can see, you know, if I gave Evans up, I'd be basically making his team, it would be half my team. This team that has carried me. So that was just too much of a price to pay.
Well, we'll see the tail of the tape at the end of the playoff schedule to see who won that trade. But the odds are in favorite that you bamboozled him. And we will hear from the co-host again.
And let's just look at the proof in the pudding right here. We literally played against each other and he won. You know,
no thanks. Again, no thanks to the players you gave him. If he just had McCaffrey, he still would have won.
No. He still would have. He would not have won if he had McCaffrey. Like,
yeah, because he would have had seven less points, right? And he still would have beat you by at least 1 point.
No, so he wouldn't have Cooper. He would have lost two more points from Cooper.
No, he has five. He has what? Yeah, he had 5 points.
From no, Cooper had 6.4 points, and he got 4.3 from Dotson. That's all he would have had.
Yeah, and I think he would have won. We got to do the math. We got to do the math, because then that's assuming he didn't have a replacement player for the running back. And you think any let's just say 5 points replacement running back. You know, he brings in whoever off the scrub, you know, for Cook. Mm-hmm. So he still would have won. You know, with the replacement, you know, he gave him like 3 points or 4 points, 5 points, whatever. Yeah. So, well, guess what? You know, the stars are aligned. It might happen again where you meet up with Wolfman next week.
Okay.
So we'll see.
If you talk to Wolfman, I will say that he felt good about the trade. Like, in other words, the trade had to be done for him. And again, I don't think, well, let's put it this way. I think the trade worked is a risk and reward on both of our sides. And my risk was losing this game and letting Pac-Man open the door for Pac-Man to get in. And then once you're in the playoffs, of course, anything can happen. But I feel like I got to take that risk of maybe sacrificing week 13 in order to have McCaffrey on my team. So again, so in the end, I feel like this is what a trade should be. There should be risk reward on both sides. Both sides should be a little bit hesitant to make it. Both sides should be a little happy to make it, which we both were. And that's how trade should be made. And
I'm looking forward to what our other co-host feels about it after 1 week after the trade.
Well, yeah, he should feel like, yeah, for sure. He should retract, because again, Pac-Man won. So I took the L. So we shall see. Well, you know, let's take a break. It is time to bring in the man. And let me say, preface this before we bring him in. Stop saying you hope you see him again next week, because whatever you're doing is working for him. So stop saying that.
All right, he's got some good karma. He's got some good podcast karma, no doubt.
All right, once again, for a record. I believe, is this 6 weeks now or 5 weeks? I've lost track. He's won the highest score of the week and the biggest blow of the week. Let's welcome him in to the new podcast, Ron Lynn's podcast with Sideshow Thunderdome podcast. It is Roll Limbo, two men enter, one man leave. Congratulations, Ron.
Thank you, guys. It's only been three times. It hasn't been six times.
No, it's been more than three times. This has been like, okay, 3 weeks in a row, but five or six times overall in the season.
I don't think so, but I think I've only been on three times.
It's a big congratulations, Ro. You did it again. You should have walk-up music now. Hey, where's the production staff? What kind of you know outfit are we running here? We should have some production music for three in a row. You know, he did it again. Yeah, it's just he is on a roll.
But
before we get started, let's I think we should really lift up our thoughts and prayers to what happened at UNLV.
Oh, it's crazy. Of course, it did happen today. If people haven't heard, just another senseless act of violence, a shooter, an active shooter out there on UNLV campus. Last I heard, three people were killed and one was wounded. So it's just crazy what's going across the whole country, of course. Las Vegas is now dealing. This is our second, kind of mass shooting. So certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to the families and friends of all those involved there.
This is a 67-year-old professor, dude. Jeez.
Is that what it came out?
That's what I just saw.
Professor from UNLV?
He was the gunman?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was terrible, terrible. I was around the area today as I don't work too far from there. And yeah, I saw a big police presence. There was a lot of cops around the hospital. So I was a little bit confused. You know, I was thinking, is there some dignitary around? But, usually they block off the freeways, which, I heard so that the freeways were being blocked off. And I was like, I didn't think the president or the vice president was scheduled to visit today. So I was confused about that. But again, I was like, are they making a visit to a hospital? So at that time, I hadn't heard of what happened. But, after hearing what happened on the news, now that all made sense. So, yeah.
I texted Peter because I was worried about Kenny. And Peter said Kenny had afternoon classes, so he wasn't on campus.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, as far as I know, certainly our family does have some friends out there on UNLV. Luckily, everyone that we know is safe and accounted for. So, of course, we have to be thankful for that. But like you said, our prayers definitely go out to those family and friends who were affected. So senseless. Unbelievable that it turns out that it's a professor. Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, fantasy football is something that helps us at times like this. I guess, we do this for entertainment and we do this sometimes to be able to get away from the real world. And certainly this is something that we do for our entertainment to help us throughout the week. And well, this past week, Ron, you just showed your team to be the number one team, not only in scoring, but now in the standings, you take over first place. You gave Georgia's beatdown a 165-56 to a 96.38. Stanky Boys, depending on his top draft pick, Eckler, only give him 4.7. These are a couple weeks where Eckler has not been doing much for him. He does get 25 points from Derrick Henry, but Henry went out with a head injury, and he got 0 points from Johnson. Basically, this team couldn't put up any type of effort, any type of resistance against your juggernaut. CJ Stroud doesn't even have that great of a game, but Maybe the fantasy MVP of the year, Tyreek Hill, 32.3. He is unstoppable. Atlanta's defense, they get plugged in against the hapless Jets, the carousel of QBs over there. You get 21 from him. Trey McBride, also, you know, a bloomer now, 22.9. Just up and down the board, just double-digit scores up and down. And this is, you know, without Taylor still. Taylor still recovering from that injury. Ron, what can you say? Another week of high scores. Must be feeling pretty good right now.
I'm just trying to win the regular season because I'm going to lose in the playoffs.
Well, I don't see how that would happen where you're constantly the highest score of the week. If the highest score of the week means you're going to beat everyone else out there. There's other people who had high scores this week, but all of them would have fallen short of your score. Wanzi, I don't know. You know, two man to one man leave. We talked about all these other teams that you don't want to run into in the first round or any round of playoffs, but this is the top team that you don't want to run into.
Yeah, this is truly a beatdown, Mike Tyson level. You know, first round knockout. Like you have no chance when you get into the ring with two men. And when you look at his team, top to bottom, he just has a plethora of high scores. And I felt really bad for Stanky Boys. Even if he had Luke making the decisions this week, it wouldn't have helped. And it just punctuates what I think is a lost season for Stanky Boys. He peaked really early. He was doing great with the matchups. He was getting ahead of everyone. And then, unfortunately, the slide down. And you got to give it to Stanky Boys for putting up a great fight. But he ran into two men. And once you run into him, it's a knockout. You know, yeah. You got no chance, right? 21 points from an Atlanta defense that he just picked up off the street. Uh-huh. Come on. What's going on here?
They're playing the Jets. The Jets.
With that loss, Stanky tumbles down to 12th spot. But again, in this competitive Thunderdome that we are, he is still mathematically not eliminated. He can still get that last playoff spot. He does need some help. He's going to need some help from some other teams. But it's amazing that at this late a stage, the 12th team could still be alive for a playoff spot. It just goes to speak of the competitiveness this year. When you look at the standings, Ron, are you amazed? Or is that what you would come to expect from our league in terms of the tight scores, the tight records in the Thunderdome?
I'm not shocked. We've all been playing, you know, in this league together for so long. So, I mean, we all know how to play fantasy football. So, not shocked.
You know,
it's always tight. It's rare. It's rare when someone is like done with like, you know, 2 weeks left in the season. That rarely happens in our league.
You know, as I look at these two teams, you know, this is an aside, but you know, Ron and Stan are both big golfers. And, you know, one thing when you had told the story about what happened to Helmet Head a couple of weekends ago, you know, I noticed one thing, you know, that Ron was surprised. I think he did say, maybe Ron was saying, one thing that Ron didn't seem surprised about was, you know, I've told this story to, you know, discussed it with Stan, you know, because he's a golfer and I discussed it with Squishy, Autodraft, Mike, and even Peter. I tell the story about Helmet Head and how he got hit in the head. And, you know, the one thing, you know, in my mind as a non-golfer, like my first thing is thinking is like, oh, man, when your friend hit it, I you know, what was he doing? Like, how bad of a golfer was he that he hit someone in the head? But all the golfers' reaction, and like I said, I was surprised that Ron didn't mention this, but, you know, all the other golfers' reaction was, well, what was that guy doing in front of him? It was his fault for standing in front of him way out there. Like, why wasn't he back where he was hitting the golf? And that hadn't occurred to me. Honestly, me thinking, especially because you said it was like 2-on-2 and he was the other two, I thought it would be normal. And I thought, like, oh, it's kind of funny that he got hit because why should he? He was all the way off on the cart road. You said, right? You guys were on the cart road, But they were all surprised that he was in front of him. Ron, would you say it's the same thing? It was actually funny that Helmet Head was actually out there, and it was more likely that he should have been with him when the guy was hitting his ball.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been out in front like that. That wasn't smart.
So is it not normal for guys to be out way down there, 175 yards out there?
Well, you know, when you see the pros play on TV, uh-huh. you know, you see one group ahead, you know, where he goes his ball. No one expects you to hit the ball that far offline when you're, you know, a skilled golfer. It's very rare that you have a 7-iron and it's that far right where you're hitting, you're in the middle of the fairway. Uh-huh. You're aiming left and you slice one so bad that it goes over the cart path and hits another player square on the head. So generally for the pace of play, you know, you want to go to your ball, you know, out of the way, of course, be watching. But generally, you know, the better golfers will be able to go ahead and not expect something to come close to their noggin, you know. But, you know, it could happen anytime. Ron was on the tee box, not even in the player field, right. And he got hit. So yeah. Golf is it could be a dangerous sport. You know, but, you know, you can never expect the unexpected, right? So in that sense, you know, I feel for Stanky. He gave it his best, and he's looking at the outside. He has to jump through four players to get in there, and they all have to lose ahead of him, and he still has to outscore them with his point differential.
Yes.
So, which means that he has to have a better record than everybody else. So it's a tough ask, and so that's why week 14 is the best week of the whole season. And I'm glad Roe was high score, because I would love to get his thoughts on the upcoming matchups.
Oh man, no doubt. And let's start off with Ron's matchup. This is a key matchup: two men enter, one man leave, going up against 58, and 58 is fighting for his playoff life. He is now down to number 11, and he is at 5-8, and he's going to have to fight hard. But unfortunately for 58, he is going up against the juggernaut that is Ron. Ron, are you going to take it easy on 58 at all? Or are you thinking about letting a little bit of, I don't know, mercy on one of your golf partners here? Or you think it's time to take 58 out, put him out of his misery?
I think Danny's going to beat me this week. I have a feeling he's going to beat me. I think he's going to use Zach Moss against me. I think Zach Moss is going to go off.
Well, you know, Zach Moss, you know, only scored 7 points for him. That's what he thought last week. But
because he's saving them all for this week.
And he's going to have to risk Chuba Hubbard at his 22 points and leave it on the bench once again?
I think he's going to beat me this week. He has good matchups too.
Well, you know, looks like he's going to try to take up the pick of the week. He's going to plug in Ezekiel Elliott. He's going to sit his Jaylen Warren and Hubbard, and he's going to give Elliott the starting knob. He's going to roll the dice with the veteran running back. But I don't know. You've got Montgomery going up against the Chicago defense. You got Rashad White, who has been just doing yeoman's work week after week. You picked up Kyle Pitts off of the waiver wire. You know, who knew you could get a tight end of that ilk this late in the game off of the waiver wire? You know, perfect pickup for you at this time with McBride going up on bye. That's pretty much all you could ask for at this stage of the game. And of course, you got Tyreek Hill on Monday night. Tyreek Hill loves the bright lights, Wanzi. You expect that point projection to be low for Hill, wouldn't you, Wanzi?
Yeah, that cheetah is something else. And that Tennessee, back end, it's terrible. So I expect two-man enter to be, should I say it, Rump?
Don't say it. I told you. Okay. Wanzi, not on Sunday anymore. Do not fight him again. I don't know what kind of power you have. Just pick someone else. Do not pick Wanzi. Wanzi has been as great as he's been, He's taking over the podcast. I don't see the show now, but for the love of God, please.
So I was examining Pig. You know, I said last week Pigs just needed to win two. He didn't do that. Yeah. Now he has to win, and he has to score 30 more points than Wolfman to get in. Yep. So, you know, it's a tough task, but if anyone's going to do it, it's the former champ, Danny. He has a chance to do it. And this is the one time that I think Two Men is vulnerable. Mike Tyson, this could be the Buster Douglas fight.
I'm telling you, Danny has a really good chance.
I wouldn't put my money on it, but I said it could happen. The Buster Douglas in Japan fight.
Sure. I mean, anyone has a puncher's chance here, but like I said, it is a tall task for 58, but 58, he's going to want to fight to get into this playoff spot. But like I said, he's made it a little bit more difficult for himself, and it's time to put up or shut up here at week 14. Oh, man. So as we go to our next matchup, we got TLA versus Variant. This is number five with Variant versus number six at TLA. These are teams that will be still vying for not only the playoff spot, but positioning in the playoff spot here. You expect Variant, you know, he probably hasn't set his lineup yet. I don't think, of course, Carr dealing with that injury. Like we said, we assume that Stafford will get the starting lineup. TLA has have to make a move with his tight end. It looks like Otten is going to get the start here, but you know, can Hurts continue his great pace of play? He's dealing with a couple of injuries here. He's going to go up against that Dallas defense, but you do expect that to be a shootout. You hope Jake Browning can still consider be able to get the ball to Jamar Chase, but of course TLA is dealing with that injury to Ramondre Stevenson, so he's going to have to hope that Kenneth Walker is able to get healthy enough to get the start in Seattle. Otherwise, he's going to have to rely on Kenneth Gainwell to pick up that spot. What do you think, Ron? You think Variant is going to be able to solidify his spot here? He should be able to take out down TLA, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what Variant's doing, though, holding on to Joe Burrow. I don't know if he's not paying attention. I don't know if he knows that he's out for the season.
You would expect that during the game when Burrow has a cast on his wrist in a sling this late, that Burrow is not going to make it back for the playoffs.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's kind of wasting a spot. You know, he could always, you know, grab, you know, someone to make his bench stronger. So I'm not sure what Variant is doing there.
Yeah, I would have liked it if he would have taken Kyle Pitts away from you so you didn't have a tight end to use. But no, he doesn't even do that.
He doesn't need to. He has Kelsey.
I know, but at least you could have done it to play defense against you needing a tight end.
Bro, you did submit something on the chat today that I thought was interesting. You thought that Variant was trying to lose. Is that right?
Yes.
On purpose?
Yeah, last week I think he was trying to lose. I don't know why he played Derek Carr over Stafford. I wouldn't have done that. I didn't understand that move. And then I don't know. I think Variant has a tough decision to make with Cooper Kupp because he's just been not good, not himself this season. He might have to roll the dice and not keep him in there because he's just been on like a bad streak.
You know, but even with that injury, he did score 15.9 points last week. So that wasn't too bad there. But I think
look at all the other weeks.
Yeah. But what could you do? I mean, who are you going to put in instead of him? Ford or Algier? You know, I think with Joe at his lineup, Cooper Kupp is, you know, it would be pretty ballsy to sit him down at any point at this point in the season there.
Ford's been pretty consistent. I mean, you know, double digits every week, at least 12 points. I mean, you know, I'll take that over like the chance of someone getting only 6 points, which Kupp has done like several weeks, you know, in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he's always the injury risk. That's true. So, yeah,
You know, you are right though. He definitely has a decision to be made. He does. It is something he has to contemplate there. But like I said, it's gonna take a lot to sit Cup. The easier choice is to play Cup, but it may not be the right choice. Yeah.
So well, this I feel this matchup. You know, 4, 5, and 6, me, TLA, and Variant, we're fighting so we don't have to play Raw in the first round. So, you know, if you finish 6, Raw finishes 3rd, you're going to face him in the first round. So whoever loses this round between these two is going to be looking at Raw, one of the highest point getters in our league. So be interesting what results. But I think TLA, he's holding on, you know. Injuries late has really hurt his chances with Burrow, you know, but looks like Chase has recovered, but now Stevenson's done. And then, you know, we're going to see Kenneth Walker, another guy. I'm not sure if he's coming back. Marquise Brown is on a bye. So, you know, it's not looking good for TLA this week. But again, these teams are in the playoffs, separated by 12 points, I think, from 4, 5, and 6. It's all about positioning now.
Oh man,
I think TLA he should free up a roster spot and drop one of these defenses, but I don't know. I sounds like a broken record now.
Man, I tell you why he would regret. You know, this past week I was discussing earlier with Wanzi Ron. You know, I was with TLA on Sunday. We were watching the games, and he was sweating bullets because his team, for a long time, looked at jeopardy of scoring below 58. And, you know, when Hurts went out with his injury, it was like a real possibility at that time.
So, yeah, I saw that. And I was like praying. I was praying he could beat the 58 record, because don't we all just want to see something like unprecedented? That's what I was.
Well, I tell you, TLA does not want to be the one who breaks the record. And I know Danny was praying, and you know he was like glued to the set. He was probably so excited when they mentioned that Hurts might be out with a concussion. And then he must have threw his remote down on the ground when he saw that Hurts put his helmet back on. Oh man. Oh, it would have been hilarious. Danny must have had so much hope. But no, TLA in the end scores enough. And oh man, I can't tell you the relief on Rich's face on Sunday was, oh man, it was something to be seen.
Oh, it's man. Crazy though, because 58 though, he's a champion in this league, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's just crazy to have a championship and also be known as 58.
Oh man!
And look at his team. Yeah. Look at his team. Look how many points his team scored this season.
Yeah.
You know, 16-22, and he's at 11th. So just the bad timing, you know, of matchups. You know?
Matchups definitely make a difference. This past week, there were so many lopsided scores. So many teams that did score really low. Like you know, I mean, Ron's high score hardly needed against, you know, the score he go up against. And I was like, why couldn't I have gone up against one of those feeble scores, you know? But no, I had to go up against Pac-Man, who took me down.
Karma, coming again.
Like we spoke earlier, like proved that it was a good trade because he beat me with my players.
Yeah, you know? Let's talk about your matchup, Rump. I like to get, before it's bedtime for Two Men, I like to get his take on the matchup between you and Two Men. Or Two Men, comment on the Wolfpack matchup.
If this is in reference to the trade, no matter what, it's Rump Shaker's got the better of this trade. Raheem Mostert scored 12 points. Pollard scored 17. Raheem Mostert is not the number one running back on the Dolphins. Achan is. I think Achan had 20-something points. So that just proves it right there. And then now Amari Cooper completely damaged goods. So basically the trade was like McCaffrey and was it Cook for Pollard?
No. Mostert. It's not McCaffrey and Cook. It's just basically McCaffrey. The other players,
I didn't even want the other players. I just asked for McCaffrey. The other one, players were just throw-ins to match up roster spots. Mm-hmm.
But you're calling Cook a throw-in?
Yeah. Okay. If you want to say it's a throw-in, it's a throw-in because the trade I was asking for was only for McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, again, to me, it's only for McCaffrey.
And I pointed out to Rump that McCaffrey scored 22 points and Mostert and Pollard scored 29 points together. So right. There's only a 7-point differential between, right. You know, and I said, how is this a even trade?
James Cook has basically been the equal of Pollard this season. You know that?
Yeah. What is
he? He is.
Not been the equal of Pollard.
He's the equal.
He has the same points.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he almost has the same points.
Yeah.
It's the same. Pollard's just he's just a name, but he hasn't been the running back we all thought he was going to be when the season started.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's just a name.
I will say, okay, he is the number one running back on a team that is arguably one of the number one offenses in the league. And who wouldn't want that type of running back?
I wouldn't. Not for McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Pollard for McCaffrey. It was Pollard, Mostert, and Cooper for McCaffrey.
I know. So that, you basically okay, I cannot you gave defend, him. Okay. Mostert is the is not the number one running back. Okay. Pollard. Okay. He is the number one in Dallas, but you basically gave him a number one running back, a number two running back for. Basically, probably the best player in the league, McCaffrey.
Number one.
And then James Cook is the equal of Pollard.
He's not. Okay.
How does that make sense?
Well, okay, that's your opinion versus Pac-Man's opinion.
No, it's called the numbers.
No, 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 no.
Math wins. Math wins.
If you think they're equal. You know, and
it doesn't matter anymore.
Pollard could do.
The rape has already happened.
Yes. So now it's over. The recovery. It's all about the recovery.
Well, yeah, you know, when you look at the trade, let's look at Pac-Man.
It's going to take Pac-Man a long time to recover from that big hole in his ass.
Pac's in a women's shelter right now. He's recovering.
Let's look at Pac-Man's score right now. Pac-Man's upcoming score with this team, he is projected to score a 121.06. So his team with the players that were given is well ahead projected score versus Squishy at 111.55. Again, Pac-Man is not here. I can't really do all the defending for him, but in my mind, speaking for him and the way we discussed, he's made that trade not only for just one game, but he's making that trade. That trade made it. Gave him a better chance to win week 13, and it gives him a better chance to win week 14 because he needs to get into the playoffs. Because if he doesn't get into the playoffs, it doesn't matter if he has CMC. CMC is going to do no good for him if he can't get into the playoffs. And obviously, he thought his thinking is that this trade gives him a better chance to get into the playoffs while also still giving a contending team. And so, at least this week, it does look like Pac-Man will be able to come out with a victory. The question is, will he get help from some other teams? He needs some other teams to take some losses to leapfrog more teams. Again, it's been 3 weeks in a row with victories. He needs one more victory to give himself that final chance to make a push to the playoffs. I got to say, Wanzi, if you're looking at Pac-Man's chances, they're pretty good right now making the playoffs.
Well, he needs some help. And pending on Rose matchup, you know, if somehow he throws the match and something like Buster Douglas happens and he finishes second and Pac-Man finishes eighth and you finish first, we're going to have a week 15 matchup of all matchups, you know, for a first round playoff battle. Oh, so man. I'm not saying I'm wishing it. I'm not wishing it, but we have a lot of drama left ahead. And when you look at the matchup with Squishy, you know, AI, he's been on a roll. He scored 163 points last week. Yeah. And, you know, what's Mixon going to do against that Indiana defense, right? Jefferson's back. You know, you got Deebo Samuels, who, you know, he had three touchdowns. So, you know, Squishy's not out of it. I think he has a good chance against Wolfman, but Wolfman's still on the outside looking in, but he's still alive.
Yeah, this AI score of 111.55 for Squishy, I do think it's under-projected because, you know, Deebo against Seattle, you do expect Deebo to do much more than that. And then Laporta, he's just been going off. Like I said, 11.08 seems pretty low for his point projection. So although on paper, Pac-Man looks like he should have an easy win, the crazy thing is, do you really think that Edwards should get the starting nod against the Rams versus Waddle versus Tennessee on Monday night? Ron, what do you think about that? If this is your choice, Edwards or Waddle, who would you start?
Waddle.
Waddle. How about you, Wanzi?
Oh, Waddle all day long.
Oh, you know, man.
It's going to be a feast. It's going to be a feast.
A gutsy call by AI. If AI somehow, his projections has Edwards as the higher score than Waddle, it'll be pretty amazing. So we'll have to see when it comes down to it, if he keeps that lineup there. But certainly, like I said, Pac-Man is looking to try to come up with his victory. And like I said, I was worried about making this trade because I saw this scenario. I saw the scenario of him getting into the playoffs. And if he got into the playoffs, I knew he'd be 8 or 7. And there was a good chance I'd be 1 or 2. And I would have to run into this guy. And I am not looking forward to it whatsoever. So we shall see what happens in week 14.
I don't understand these roster constructions.
Well, who are you looking at?
Well, AI has 2 kickers. Why?
He loves Tucker. He loves Tucker.
And Wolfpack and TLA, what are they running the same? Are they reading the same strategy book or something? They all have 3 defenses. I don't understand this. That's why I just ground for a defense, because these guys hug up all the defenses. There should be 4 extra defenses, you know, on the waiver wire, but they're not there because of all these guys.
It's true. They went to that playoff strategy like in like week 10, it seemed like, or week 8. They were hogging up those defense real early on. So if it seemed like they could have used more bench players for their teams, but they felt like the defense was a priority for them.
Well, when I saw TLA, you know, in the top 3 and he had 4 defenses, I said, oh, maybe this is a strategy. And then, you know, the first appearance that Ron had, you know, he noticed that there's a lot of teams with 3 defenses. So I said, oh, maybe this is a viable strategy. So I picked up 3 defenses and, you know, we'll see how it goes. This could be the new strategy for playoff football, you know, for 2023.
Oh, man. So let's go to our next matchup. You got Stakey Boys at 12. Oh, wait. Did we already go with this one? Stakey Boys and B-Team? No, we didn't, right?
So no, Stakey no, Boys
at 12, again, having to fight for their playoff lives. Mm-hmm. You got B-Team, a team just as desperate, trying to hold on to that last 8th and final spot. B-Team's got Ron's number 1 rated Miami running back, A-Chain, back in the fold. He's got Gibbs as his other running back, and Etienne will get the start this time also. You know, Bijan Robinson is going to get benched this week. You know, that seems a little bit nerve-wracking, putting a talent like Bijan Robinson on the bench. He's going to go with the hot hand at quarterback, Jordan Love, and he does have Dallas Schultz, but you expect, well, I don't know. You know, you got Dallas Goddard on the bench, but
his name is Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
You're mixing up him and Dallas Goddard. You're okay. Just combining them.
Dallas Goddard is ready to go in week 14 from all reports. You expect him to put him into the starting lineup. Stakey Boys, his team is hurting now. But Dobbs does look...
Wait, B-Team has Wait, who's Dalton Gardner? Where did he get this guy?
Dalton Gardner. And Dallas Schultz?
Where did he get these guys?
Where Dalton Schultz?
Oh, okay.
Dalton Schultz and Dallas Gardner.
We need a linguistics coach. Hey,
okay,
bro, if you get all those winnings this season, you need to hire a linguistics coach, man, to help you through the pronunciation of Goddard.
I don't know why. I never had a hard time with that guy's name until this year. I don't know what's going on. Oh, man. All right, Stinky Boy's got Romeo Doubs in the starting lineup. He certainly might benefit from the injury to Watson. You know, like I said, Jordan Love is playing better, and if Love throws it mainly to Dobbs, that will help counteract some of Love's points. He really needs Eckler to finally come through. Eckler's just he has been underperforming the last like 3 or 4 weeks, and then Henry, he's gonna have to monitor whether Henry's gonna be able to recover from that head injury there. Although apparently, it's not a concussion, just some type of head region injury. But he's got A.J. Dillon in the flex spot. I don't know if that's a better spot to do than Gabe Davis or T. Higgins. I think, Wanzi, wouldn't you put – although I know he didn't do much last week, it's the second week back from injury. Don't you think you got to go with T. Higgins instead of A.J. Dillon in that spot?
You know, he's going to give you – much higher floor or ceiling, and he needs ceiling. So Dylan's going to give you the floor. Higgins is going to give you the ceiling. And, you know, with a must-win matchup, you think he should go with all the ceiling guys like Lamar Jackson as well. Yeah. Maybe even a Gabe Davis, you know, against KC, because, you know, less need, I think, for KC is going to be all over Stephon. Diggs, so, you know, might leave Gabe Davis open for at least a touchdown, a long touchdown. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup for Stanky Boys. You know, the question he has is, what would Luke do? He might need to make a phone call and see what Luke might think and go from there. But it looks like B-Team has this one on lockdown for that final position. So, it's going to be coming down to the last week.
Yeah, Lawrence Jackson is definitely going to be in that starting lineup. You know, would you agree, Ron, in this case, Stanky's going to have to go
in? His name is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. But Gabe Davis probably needs to go in there for Jerry Jeudy, don't
you? Who's Lawrence Jackson, Troy?
Lamar Jackson.
You said Lawrence Jackson.
I meant
Lamar. Is he the new quarterback for Baltimore?
Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens.
Lamar Goddard.
Yeah.
Hey, see what you did? You made the rump all flustered. He even admitted that Achane was the number one running back for the Miami Dolphins when he introduced BT.
He already knew,
right?
He already knew that before the
yes.
trade happened. He already knew that.
All right, we'll just see. But yes.
Stanky needs to play Gabe Davis too.
Gabe Davis.
Right?
He needs like a monster game. So
yeah. Monster.
When you're looking for high ceiling type of matchups, you're projected to lose. You need to come out with a victory. You got to put those high ceiling players in there. So Gabe Davis, T. Higgins, I think they're going to have to go to his lineup.
And Lawrence Jackson.
So we shall see. You know, Pac-Man and some other players.
And Watson. He's got to play Christian Watson.
Christian Watson's injured.
Yeah, I think he might be out.
He's hurt?
Yeah.
He has a hammy. What else is new? He always has a hamstring injury. This guy, he needs a hamstring, replacement surgery from a cadaver.
Okay. So you got a lot of teams. You got Pac-Man. You got 58, and you got Victorious, really going to be rooting for Stanky Boys. They all need a little help. They all need B-Team to go down, but B-Team's not going to go down without a fight. He's going to try to hold on to that A spot. So, again, that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. A lot of eyes are going to be on that matchup there. All right, now we got your matchup, Zooks, you're going up against Raw's Empire. You're both 7-6. It'll be interesting to see you go up against them. It's a good early test for your team to see how you can fare up against this juggernaut that is Raw's Empire. He does have James Conner on bye. He's got two great tight ends, Ferguson and Hockenson. It's interesting which one he's going to start this week. But, you know, he's got the Brown brothers. He's got Kyren Williams, who's just, you know, doing work. Kyren Williams, that projected score of 1405, I definitely think is low for him. Najee Harris is a little bit of a worry for him this week. But you got Jacobs coming back off of a bye. Kamara doing great things. You got possibly Crab Legs going in at quarterback since Carr's dealing with an injury. And, of course, Purdy is, you know, being talked as maybe the MVP of the league. You do have to replace one spot, maybe. You have either Reed you can use. You got Brown you can use. You got Zay Jones you can use. You thinking Reed is going to take that starting spot over Brown, Wonzie?
I need Reed to perform this week. Last week was a bad week. But this is my chance to finally beat Raw's Empire when he, you know, has a, he's not at full strength, but I'm still going against UPS, Team UPS. Mm-hmm. But, you know, realistically, I'm hoping for just to finish fourth or fifth in the league so I don't have to match up with him in the first round. I like to make it to week 16. So either I finish ahead of TLA or Variant, whichever one. Because if you're in sixth place, that's a probably a guaranteed loss and you're going home early. And,
so are, and going you, fishing. Are you thinking of keeping Houston in a defense or will you maybe use Chicago or Denver?
You know, it's I want to use after the Atlanta Falcons run that you picked up against the Jets. You know, Zach Wilson's back. He's actually better than the replacements.
I'm so, making fun of you for having three defenses.
This well, is a know, strategy.
Part of that uh-huh. was, you know, you got to listen to what Ron, you got to listen to Ron's pearls of wisdom. And he said, hey, well, you got uh-huh. that New York uh-huh. Jets. You got to uh-huh. play that defense against them. So
that's right.
There you go. Houston versus the Jets there.
That's the key matchup. I'm hoping to get at least 21 points like Roe did, following his footsteps with the Atlanta Falcons. But, yeah, it's really for me, TLA, and Variant not to finish six this week. If you finish six, it's probably good night now.
So it's going to be it will definitely be interesting. There definitely could be a little bit of movement here, depending on how this matchup goes down. So, like I said, an exciting week, a very, very exciting week. You know, we've got so many matchups that are going to still affect the results of what happens this week. Not only the whether you can get into the playoffs, but also who your first-round matchup will be. Like I said, it's going to be exciting and you've got here this last matchup here. You got Victorious, again, fighting for that playoff spot. He came out with that gritty, gritty victory last week, that last second victory. I'm going to be going up against him.
That was a bad beat, dude.
Bad beat.
Bad for beat. Sure. Horrible you know, beat.
That was horrible.
Yes.
Lawrence with that takedown, that QB injury takes. You know, that could have. That might have solidified 58th spot in the playoffs, but instead he's tumbled down and he, like I said, he's backed into a corner. But Victorious, mm-hmm. you know, he benefits from, you know, Dak Prescott. You expect this again to be a shootout. He's been scoring upper 30s to 40s every week. So certainly that 22.86 seems very low for Prescott. And then Nico Collins, he's probably going to be the main beneficiary with that Tank Dell injury. So again, 13.97 seemed pretty low. Rashad Rice is coming on as the number one wide receiver as Kansas City. So he gets Adams back off of a bye.
I don't know. I would be aware of Nico Collins this week if I were Victorious. Like CJ told me he's going to mainly throw the ball to Dallas Schultz.
So.
So yeah, okay, a little inside info from his starting quarterback there. But you know, Victorious probably doesn't have too many options that he can pivot to. You know, it would be Tyler Lockett, but you know, Lockett has really maybe slowing down. Maybe he's showing his age. Maybe he's, you know, gone over that hump there. So it's going to be, like I said, it'd be hard to sit DeKo Collins for Tyler Lockett there. But, you know, I'm hoping, of course, with my shiny new toy CMC, I'm hoping that he really shows out here. I would like a score like Deebo Samuel was able to score last week. Three TDs by Deebo, one rushing. So he's taking all the glory away from CMC. And more importantly than anything, I need this San Diego Chargers team to get things back on the tracks. Their offense is abysmal. It's unbelievable that they cannot score points with this offense. You would hope that Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, would help them throw it out more, but the head coach Staley is just, I don't know, it's a rudderless ship.
Ro, do you believe this emotion of concern about this week's matchup against Victorious? Like, I've never seen a point projection from Yahoo as high as 127.96
right.
for Rump. This is the highest projection I think I've seen all season from any team, even Wolfman.
Team, what?
All Rump is doing, he's just trying to let his brother down easy. That's all he's doing right now.
You know,
he's going to crush Victor. He's going to crush Victor.
Yeah, right.
No way.
This guy has Barkley on the bench.
He has Barkley on the bench.
Yeah.
Against Green Bay. Come on. You don't need him. Not even your flex spot.
I won't even play him in the flex.
And look at Cook, 12 points projection against KC, who can't even stop the run. You know, he has a plethora of players now to belittle his little brother. I feel bad for Victorious.
The only thing he has to be concerned about is he's got to know which guys to play and which matchups, because he's so loaded that he's going to have some tough decisions. Tough decisions leaving Barkley on the bench. I don't think I could do that.
I think he might just do the B team, play his B players, maybe give Victorious a chance, right? And then he could finish, you know, guaranteed second to you. And what that means is he doesn't have to face Wolfpack in week 15 potentially. So,
I might be looking at the scoreboard at Pac-Man score to see how that's going.
And if he lets Victorious win, that guarantees that Wolfman won't,
This is make what's going to happen this week. I'm going to lose to Danny. Troy's going to beat Victor. So me and Troy will have the same record, but Troy has more points than me. That's how he's going to get me.
Right.
That's what I think is going to happen. That's my prediction.
Could happen. It could be the Buster Douglas, like I said, in Tokyo. So I doubt
Danny
it, but it could
me
happen.
Is not an upset. Look at his team. They're just underperforming.
We're talking about 58 here now, right? We are talking about 58, right?
About Eckler? Was it Eckler? I don't know. What's he been doing this? Do you think it's the coordinator? You know, what's going on? Is it was it Mike Johnson, the second receiver being out? Why Herbert is not
Mike
performing?
Mike Williams being out, and then what's his name? Palmer, the third receiver being out, and everybody's keying on Keenan Allen. I don't know what's going on with Eckler though. I don't know why Eckler's not getting more checkdowns or screens. The part of hoping for Herbert to be better is that, you know, he could just throw like a 5-yard checkdown to Eckler that he takes it to the house. But that ain't happening this year. So it's been rough, you know. Like I said, the last week was the low point. Yeah, they really, both Herbert and Allen just really did nothing. Single digits for both of them against a hapless New England Patriots. So, like I said, if they can't get – if those two can't get it going, you know, my team is way over-projected. I should say that.
I think Staley's lost the Charger locker room. I think that team's in just disarray.
Yeah, that's for sure. I agree with that. That team is in disarray. I'm hoping for pride from individual players. You know, before, at least they were scoring offense, so the defense was struggling. At least I would think the offense could get back into shape. But I tell you, every receiver except for Allen, they're all just dropping balls left and right. Like, they can't catch balls. The tight ends, their rookie, who seems like a bust, he can't. It's like he's allergic to it. He's allergic to the ball. And when he does try to catch it, like, just drop it, because he's like juggling the ball for like 10 yards trying to catch it. And that's just like you're just begging for that ball to be picked off. You know, I'd rather just, if you're gonna just drop it right away and not let it get picked off. So frustrating.
Well, you don't have to worry. This is going to be a breezy, easy win for you this week. So,
yeah. If you started your B team, you know, Cook, Sutton, Barkley, Freiermuth,
ridiculous,
Cleveland. Yeah,
even Cortland Sutton, right? Even him.
Yes,
he's great.
He's great this year.
Cook is good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Choice team is ridiculous.
It's you know, it's good that they're there, but there's no room on the roster. You can only play so many players, and so it does no good for them to score those points on the bench. So we shall see. Well, you know, Rod, thanks for staying up late and sacrificing, but I gotta tell you, I got a little bit of analogy. You know, I know that, you know, when we had talked about getting hit on the golf course, you know, you had relayed your own story about how you got hit and how you had to play through it. But when you heard about Helmet Head, how much more that was compared to your situation. Well, I got to tell you, Rod, you got to give it up a little bit for Zookzillas. Zookzilla is in the process of driving from Tempe. He's literally podcasting on the road. And yes, I want to try to keep it going for him, because as late it is for you, this guy pulled over on the road to do this podcast.
Are you serious?
His ride home is like an hour longer because he's committed to the podcast.
Wow.
That's
why Zuki's a true champion. Right there.
I couldn't miss Ro's 8th visit on the podcast. You know, as the high scorer,
this is only the third time. I'm telling you, go look at the records. I'm telling you.
No. You've won the high score at least 5 times. Now,
no.
Yes. That you didn't come on the podcast for the first times. One. You didn't.
Yeah, he was in protest. That was a protest.
Yeah, you didn't come on that one, but then you got another one early, and then you rattled off 3 in a row. You are at least the high scorer for 5 times in the season. I can't deny it.
But also the guest of the week that had the highest, you know, listenership. Uh-huh. You know, last week's podcast was exceptional. I still, like I said, I've been laughing, and if I need another laugh, I'm gonna listen to it again, because the takes were hot. They're often. And you could not, you know, and he made new vocabulary that week too.
Yeah.
Well, I never heard some of the words that came out.
Well, it's you can thank Wolfie for the inspiration.
So what I gotta know, what whiskey did you have before the or during the podcast last week?
What?
What kind of whiskey did you have before last week's podcast?
I was drinking some Green Spot.
Green Spot, good stuff. That Green Spot will definitely do the trick. That sounds like good drinking while having the podcast.
It's definitely bliggity blue blah worth.
By the way, I did take my family to Dejo.
Oh yeah,
we had an incredible kalbi chim. We did the, you know, we were a little scared. We didn't know what I never had the option of adding ingredients to a kalbi chim dish before. They're like, would you like vegetables? Would you like oxtail? Would you like noodles? I'm like, what do you mean? Would you like cheese? I'm like, you know, it was a great experience. So we look forward to going back again. And I can't wait till that H Mart is open. That's an incredible shopping center that they built. So Vegas is really coming along with the Korean community.
Well, I'll tell you with that garbage, Jim, what you do have to add, you got to add extra duck. That's what you need in there. You need that extra duck in there. You got to add like two extra orders of duck because, you know, even one extra order is not enough. So you want to add two extra orders of duck in there.
And what spice level do you recommend?
You know, I don't like mine too spicy. I like spicy food, but I don't like it too spicy. I like it.
Row is three?
I like low level. I think I like low level.
Zero or what?
Whatever medium is for me.
I like the one that's under medium. Like, you know, like
two?
Like
I
said, like a one.
One or two?
Like a one. I don't like it too spicy. I personally don't like it with the cheese. I feel like that's a year, but my kids all like it with the cheese. You know, all the younger generation, they love it with the cheese, the toasted cheese on top.
Yes, and the best part was when you had leftovers, how they seal it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't just give you a container. They seal it.
Yeah.
Where's the top?
To-go containers are top-notch. So that's what I say. If you don't have the time to eat it there or you just, you know, you want a good, like, seolleongtang to take home, they do a great job of wrapping it up. Their to-go containers are on point. So, like I said, it's very good. Taking the soups to go home, or even the garbage to take home, it's fantastic.
And I never take it home. I eat it all. I gorge myself.
But yeah, their bone broth soups are really good. Nice, milky, and creamy. Especially now that the weather's turning cold. That's like a freaking place to eat, that's for sure.
Well, great recommendation, fellas. I enjoyed it. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible week of football. I think it's going to be future football. If you look at Thursday night's matchup, like low scoring, there's going to be several low scoring games, I think, this week with injuries and whatnot. But, you know, this is the week, I think the best week. And I can't wait.
Please, someone get 57. That's a crazy thing with some of these quarterback matchups. You don't know how it's going to affect the you know, the skill positions. I mean, like you said, look at Thursday. We've got Trubisky versus Zappi, possibly. Indianapolis, since then, we got Minshew versus Brownie. Let's see, Jacksonville, we got Beathard versus, who knows, Flacco, maybe. We've got, you know, all these backup QBs. It's crazy. So a lot of this action, you know, in Chicago, well, we got Fields, he's back. Again, you got this Jets quarterback situation, whoever may be starting over there. It's just a lot of bad QBs out there.
And so, don't forget weather. There's, you know, like, you know, 0 degrees, lots of rain. This is, you know, winter football. So, yeah, you're right. There's a, we're getting into that period of time where you got to think about what the weather, which is crazy.
It's, like I said, the scores can vary so much, just like it was this past week. I mean, we got teams in the 150s and the 160s, and we got other people who can't break 100. So, like I said, it will be exciting. But, hey, Wadzi, we'll let you go so you can get back home there, get home safely to your family.
Drive safely, man.
Yeah. Thanks for making the break.
Well, you know who my high score predictor of the week is going to be. I don't want to say anything.
Don't you say it. Don't you say it. All right.
Ron, if I'm on again next week, I'm guaranteed to lose in the first round.
Okay. Well, everyone have a good week. Ron, take us out once again.
Good night, everyone. Wanzi, drive safely. Good night. Good night, Dallas Chang. And everyone go get something good to eat.